Around Comics, episode 66.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined by a really big roundtable today.
Yes,
it's
roundest of tables.
We had to actually put the extension, Thanksgiving leaf in. First of all, is my partner and one of the co-hosts of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
I like to be referred to as Lord Salazar.
Nice. Next is our other co-host, Mr. Tom Caters.
You will refer to a 12th level mage as Mr. Caters.
Next is our good buddy and our Monday episode regular, the host of Word Balloon, Mr. John Suntress.
Howdy, boys.
And our good buddy, the artist of several things, Scar Tissue, Fiendish Fables,
Dialar Studios,
blah, 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 Mr. Dave Wachter.
Hi, how you doing?
Special mystery guest is Mr. Hillary.
Let me guess. What? Wait, mystery guest, can I ask 21 questions? Can we do it?
You said Mr. Hillary, so unless it's the Mount Everest guy, then I think we know who it is.
Mr. Hillary Barda.
I've recently come from the top of Everest.
Hillary was able to maneuver his wheelchair up to the round table today.
Oh, quit making
it's like
old
the Christopher.
Jokes.
It's like the Christopher Pike wheelchair with the light that for yes and yes for no. Yeah. Who can follow that material?
Best written show ever.
Well, everyone, welcome aboard the roundtable. Before we get into the past week's news and comic book reviews, I would like to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
They are.
Nice.
All right. Thank you to InStock Trades. And definitely go check those out. Believe me, it's easy to get to that $50 plateau.
No kidding.
It happens real quick. But you get plenty of good stuff. All right, everyone.
I actually ordered more in my last monthly order of comics. I actually ordered more in hardcovers and absolute editions than I did in single issue comic books.
It's a good sign.
Oh. Killing me.
It's a good
transition. I can't get enough of them, though. They're beautiful.
Oh, the absolute new
gorgeous,
frontier.
Tom. They're gorgeous.
Hey, Chris, let me know when I can ask a completely off-subject question. Now?
Go. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone here know which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle has which weapon?
Sure.
Yes.
Leonardo.
Leonardo has the staff. The bow staff.
Leonardo has the bow staff. Raphael has the sai.
Donatello
was the
nunchuck.
The other one was the
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo was no. Leonardo had the katana, and Michelangelo had
the
bow staff.
Okay. And
Splinter had them all.
And which one had the personality?
Raphael was
he was
Wolverine.
He was the trouble.
Wait,
one?
Which one
had
the nunchuck?
Raphael sai.
Leonardo was the leader.
I'm supposed to do a story, so I got to
know. Oh really?
Oh, wait. Which one had the
I'll give you my cell phone. You can just call me at any time, Hillary, and I'll fill you in
with
on
the personality.
No.
Raphael had the
you'll
personality.
You'll get the console credit.
You know what? We need to fucking check this shit
and
on
then,
Google.
And then
we'll
there
get
was
a ton of angry emails.
No, I'm telling you, I'm totally right. Leonardo had the katana. He was the leader. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Raphael was the troubled Wolverine-like character.
He was the
sire.
Yes.
And then Michelangelo and Donatello were kind of just there, but they had, you know, their
they
own
were like Davy Jones and Peter Tork. And, you know,
yeah, exactly. They were just kind of
never ever speaking
and then,
Peter Tork.
And then there was the other guy? Not Splinter.
Oh, Casey.
Casey Jones. Yeah, with the baseball bats
and the hockey
and the hockey stick. Yeah,
Casey Jones was awesome. Did we
answer
your question, Hillary?
Does that work?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
And you too, Chris.
Ooh. Thank you. Wow. This is the year of picking on Chris.
That's for
Thanks,
calling
Mark.
Him old. That's for
All right,
calling
folks.
Him old.
Yeah, speaking of Mark, he is the owner of Dark Tower Comics, and Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics.
I think we should
change
the name of this place to Around Comics. What do you think, Mark?
Ooh. It's a hostile takeover.
We'll get over it. About
20
grand, we'll do it.
We're 20
grand. Wow, naming price.
All right. We'll start a collection. Dark Tower is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, please remember to ask about Dark Tower's pull list membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, indie comics, trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectibles needs. Tom, you got drunk before Christmas.
I did. I was watching a Packer game.
Shocker.
I was watching a Packer game on a Sunday, and they won. And I came home, and I was in such a good mood that I was like, I'm going to order myself Absolute Watchmen.
Yes.
Which is, because I'm such a goddamn
nerd. I need
nerd.
Some that's postmodern, depressive yeah. comic.
That's going to be good. But when I did it, guess what happened?
What?
I marked down a quantity of two.
Oh.
So guess what happens when I get the box at work and I open it up? I'm like, this is a huge box and it's really heavy. There's two of them inside of it.
What happens when Tom loses?
You win. Yes. I'm talking to you, the listener. Because instead of returning it for the, you know, the amount of money I paid, I will give it to one of you. And you want to know how you're going to win it?
Yes. Oh, I wasn't supposed to. Is that rhetorical?
No, it was good. Because the key is I'm lazy. And I know Watchmen is influential, but I would like you to tell me why it's influential. So all I want is a paragraph sort of explaining a theme explored in Watchmen that is also explored in a current comic book favorite of yours. And you can send the entry to tom@aroundcomics.com. Along with the paragraph, please include your full name and email address. Please, one entry per person. Creativity won't win you the prize, but we guarantee we'll get it read on the show if we find it interesting. And we will ship it internationally, so bring the thunder, Australia.
Yes.
And Tom reserves the right, me, to reject your entry if he doesn't think you put any thought into it. So please know Avengers is about people fighting, and so is Watchmen. I am lazy, but I demand intellectual honesty.
Absolutely.
All entries must be received by January 31st. And once again, for some reason I want to mention it again, one entry per person.
Only one. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Tom.
For complete details on the Who Watches the Caters contest, you can go to www.aroundcomics.com and look up contest. And we also have a thread about it on the forum.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, but if you don't win the Absolute Watchman, you can buy it. At Shopping Around Comics.
You can. Shopping Around Comics, we just put a bunch of new stuff on there, including EC Archives and some Steve Rood stuff, Nexus Archives, and Gene Colan Essential stuff, the bunch of Tomb of Dracula and Daredevil stuff.
Some black market organs, like kidneys.
I got a couple of children, small children. Nice. And
I'm going to need a liver in a few months.
As a reminder to anyone, if you do see something at the Amazon store or you don't see something at the Amazon store that you would like, just send Sal an email, sal@aroundcomics or info@aroundcomics, and he'll get it in there.
Thanks.
Just email block. Over limit email box. Mm. All right, folks, that'll take care of our announcements. That means it's time to move the entire panel over to the news desk. Come on, guys.
Skitter.
I think this might be the week we move the news desk
to us. Who's running the show?
It's just one small box.
Who's
it's
wagging
a shoe
the dog?
Box, guys? Why do we always go to the shoebox?
Hey, John Byrne.
I'll get my Ted Knight voice going ready. All right. It's I'm ready for the news.
It's the John Byrne podium.
I'll get my James Dane Bullock voice going.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Well, I'm thinking Mary Tyler Moore when he was Ted Baxter, but that's all right.
Nice. Meanwhile,
it is time for Wire to Wire Comic News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, guys, starting out with Mouse Guard. It's been storming to the top of tons of 2006 Best of lists. The little indie that could, David Peterson's and Asp's Mouse Guard, has racked up numerous Best of awards for 2006, including those from Wizard, I can't believe that, Canada's widely read Metro News, IGN.com, and Broken Frontier. David and Asp wish to thank both the supportive and dedicated fans
ASP.
Who...
Archaea Studio
oh,
Press.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. No, I just want to call it ASP. It is, you're right, it is ASP.
King Cobra Studio.
Call me stupid. I'm going to insult Wizard and then call it ASP.
yeah, well, Wizard's a bunch of idiots. They don't know anything about independent books.
ASP, publisher.
They would like to thank the supportive and dedicated fans who helped make Mouse Guard such a success and each of the publications that dedicated or decided to. To honor Mouse Guard for the best of awards. Mouse Guard was great.
The most unbelievable story of a small little book that just has sold insane amount of numbers. I mean, they keep reprinting that thing over and over and over again.
No, and I look forward to its future success, but it's funny, we were off the air talking about, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and think of how small started as an indie book. And taking nothing away from the Mouse Guard guys and their accomplishment this year. I think it's you know, we're in the midst of it, because imagine how much hype it's going to be when it is finally collected and sitting in the children's book section.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be huge. And I know we talked about it, I think, in the Year in Review episodes as well. I'm pretty sure we touched
on it. Yeah, did we touch on it?
Yeah. And I mean, no, it's a great story.
I think it's going to be one of those that people are like, this was a comic book, whenever it's at a Borders in the kids section.
When it's a Disney cartoon.
No kidding. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, because this is like the watership down.
Worst mouse comic ever.
Thanks, Tom.
Lots of plot holes.
The president would be Bone, probably, right?
I mean, that's really transcended.
Well, it's kind of got a really great medieval feel to it, and I think that's
medieval. Mouses with swords.
Yes, mouses with swords. Oh, exactly. Which speaking of
mouses with swords.
Mises.
Thank you, Jinxie.
kind of preview. And I think a lot of people were saying, "Oh, you're just doing a Mouse Guard," but Mike Ovine's Mice Templar is coming out this year. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's been working on that for a long time too. So,
next story.
Yes, indeed. this was a great event that happened in December, and now it's going to be a DVD. It's called Marvel Then and Now. Pre-orders are now being accepted for the release of a full-feature DVD presentation of the Hero Initiative benefit that happened on December 2nd. It was an evening with Stan Lee and Joe Quesada that was moderated by Kevin Smith. A lot of our friends were in attendance at this thing in LA.
Pat Loaika, I know, was there.
And I've heard bootlegs of the event. And it was cool. It was really cool, and I think that's great. I mean, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen that Stan Lee, Kevin Smith one-on-one interview where they're just kind of sitting talking about comics. It was a lot like that with Joe. And,
I enjoy Kevin Smith, like his college, you know, performances where he's just sort of sitting back and talking a lot more than many of his movies that have come out of late, but
no, he's a good monologist. He's a good storyteller.
Yeah,
and especially in this forum, is not only a fan of, you know, and appreciative of the opportunities that Quesada has given him in modern Marvel, but certainly always has, you know, kind of given it up for Stan and what he created, and
including
Stan and Mallrats and stuff. So,
sure.
No, I thought it was a fun, candid, funny, a night. Kind of live event, much like the Kevin Smith movies as well. They're talking about that it won't be released any later than March, and looking at a 5 hours of running time and a price of $24.95. So that's pretty good for 5 hours.
As long as the weather doesn't stop it from getting delivered.
Well, speaking of that,
West Coast fans might not get it till a week later.
Spotlight on
that's later.
Spotlight on the Civil War, the return. This has been the big buzz going around the last few days. When Civil War is over, the Marvel Universe will stand transformed. Not just rhetoric, those words will soon be gospel and should serve as both a promise and a warning to those who feel they know every in and out of the famous Marvel heroes and villains. When the dust settles, the landscape will be changed forever, paving the way for a favorite yet absent character of return.
I heard that when this comes out, someone's going to come to your shop and change your life by stabbing you or giving you like $1 million. That's how fucking earth-shattering the return's going to be.
It's going to be Captain Marvel.
No, I think it's a total red herring.
No, Did you see that, Dave? You posted that on the forum about that cover in previews of the cover of Civil War Return.
That doesn't exactly.
It could be a red herring.
It could be the 8-point star. From the same star of his uniform, but it's also on a lot of other
Marvel's coming back. That's what
I think. It's going to be Thor.
No, Thor. We've known forever Thor's coming back. That's not anything.
What's
going
to happen to Clore then?
I know.
Clore.
I liked Clore.
Everyone
Clore.
Loves Clore.
We would hang out.
Clore.
He's the new Doctor Doom.
Clore was Clore really.
Is, yeah.
Awesome.
Didn't you hear?
Uncle the Return.
I don't know who gives. Who gives no, a shit? We'll find out. We'll find out when it happens.
Basically, at the end of the day, who gives a shit? Yeah. And a lot of people will.
It'll be good.
Well, it'll just be something to get people's panties.
I'm going to go start a thread
on
their farm.
They run the string before it gets boring. I mean, that's the problem with all these events and stuff is.
I'm bored with Civil War.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, because all the delays. I really liked it when it started, but then I said this last week. I ran out of steam.
The mood is
at
gone.
At this point, I don't care. It's like, whatever happens.
I
just want to see what happens.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Just give me the end. All right.
Yeah, see what happens.
No, I understand.
Spotlight
well, you know, and maybe this is a horrible analogy, but, you know, they...
I guarantee it is.
If it's coming from Chris,
he's
already giving you a heads up.
There's a kitten in the oven. You don't call it biscuits.
If you attach a cat to a helium balloon, then you fire.
Isn't that Rusparo?
No, that was Chris.
I like that.
If you tie your dog to a helium balloon and it floats off, that ain't no one's fault
but
your own.
No, my mom always said you could boil a pig, but don't make it bacon.
No, but they promoted it as like it's like a 5K race. And that's what you pace yourself for, and it ended up being a 10K race. It's it's like, okay,
I've run a 5K
race. If Sal and I don't run for anything.
Just get in the car and
unless
drive.
I'm being chased by someone with a gun.
You know, I was expecting, you know, it's like, you know, 7 issues, boom, 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 7 months is what it's going to take, and then we're going to move on. And now it's taken, like,
you sucker.
You know, 11 months or whatever it's going to be at
the
conclusion.
And, a half years.
And it's like, it should be done now, and that's why I think you're feeling like you've run out of steam. It's like,
well,
it
you know,
should have wrapped
if,
up.
The problem was is the way the story was unfolding is a bit slow and not that much action. If it was a really highly paced and exciting and something that really I was dying to see what happened next, but it just hasn't been written that way. It just hasn't, to me, it just hasn't come out that way. And so it's like, okay, well, it's delayed for 3 months, so what?
So not enough happened in 6 to kind of get your excitement up?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll say that
six,
much.
Right, six.
I'll
read it
and see what you say after you've read 6.
But I know kind of what you're talking about.
I know 50-50. I've talked to people who've read 6. Some are like, oh, that was really cool.
Not,
looking
not
forward
that
to
I'm
seven.
Not
going to
read it.
Like,
not that I'm like completely down on it. I'm just like, I'm just sort of, whatever.
It'll
come out, I'll read it, and that's that.
It's one of those things where, at this point, I'm just way more interested in what Marvel's going to be like after.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
What's really going to happen at the end of 7 that's going to...
Right, shatter any... Yeah, it's not going to be... To this
Maybe.
Point, it's like... Okay, if they kill off every character in the Marvel Universe, that, you know, may...
It's kind of like 52 with Infinite Crisis, where I think 52 has been way more interesting.
Yes, absolutely. Than
Infinite
Crisis. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, to me, is more interesting.
All right, Tom, next story.
Checker Book Publishing Group and Walt Disney Publishing have announced a licensing agreement under which Checker will reprint original cross-gen comics company material in a total of 9 trade paperback collected editions. These books will be introduced in a series of monthly preview solicitations, beginning with the item shipping in February of 2007.
Yeah, that's good, because there were a lot of great stories that I think got thrown under the bus when things folded up for CrossGen.
That's cool.
Hey, and maybe you know, John, was there ever any reprint of the Valiant stuff? Did they ever do any trade? Did anyone ever print trades of Valiant?
You got a quarter ban for that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what I do sell.
I still have a lot of it.
Collected trades?
In a collected trade, I would
think so.
That would have some market.
But yeah,
maybe
but maybe
not,
a lot of
though.
That stuff is still tied up in litigation with all the and this is just speculation on my part, but with all the changes from, you know, Valiant to around or about, or I can't even remember.
I mean, I'm sure there's some issue with who actually
owns the stuff.
Owns it to put it out.
Oh god, it's Miracle Man all over again.
Because like in the case of CrossGen, it's Disney, and Checker just needs to knock on Disney's door and say, "Yeah, we'd really like to, you know, release."
But CrossGen, I mean, CrossGen, you know, for whatever you want to say about CrossGen, they certainly introduced us to a lot of artists
and
a lot of people came
in.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think this will work for Checker in the future because one of the things they're collecting is Way of the Rat, which is in production as a film. And Checker will be the ones that will benefit from the trade that comes out, you know, from it and stuff.
I think there's a lot of newer comic book fans that never got the chance to read CrossGen and have heard a lot about it, and it's just one of those names that is floating out there.
And it was
that
only
this
5 years ago.
Yeah, and this is going to give them a chance to, hey, you know, I came in back into, I checked out in the 90s, and tell you the truth, I never got into CrossGen, so this is going to give me a chance to go back and read some.
That's me. You just described me. I was just thinking that. Exactly.
Well, there you
I
go.
Just described well, you know, Dave. There's I came back into comics in like 2001, and you missed. I was out for
there was some
time.
Good stuff in CrossGen. I
loved a lot of CrossGen stuff. I really did. I even loved a lot of their sci-fi stuff. Was great.
Don't you dare say you love it.
I
know, I'm just trying
no,
to cause controversy.
Yeah, I was totally... They hit me at the right time. It was, if you like superheroes, that's great, they're there. But if you're looking for other genres, and think of all, we talked about this at the year-end show, Ape Entertainment, Speakeasy, all these companies that took the CrossGen idea, didn't go as crazy as Alessi did in terms of throwing out as many titles at once.
Right.
And are
except
benefiting
for Speakeasy.
From
Capital Comics.
Yeah. All right, guys, next story. This is this one's actually a couple weeks old, but with all the New Year's reviews and whatnot,
the filler
it got bumped.
Hours
but I
and
think,
hours of
it's important, and I think it needs to be talked about because it is a really good series. And that is Jack of Fables, Vertigo's Jack of Fables number 7, previously slated to feature the conclusion of the 2-part Jack Frost, instead will present the start of Jack of Hearts, a 4-part story set in Las Vegas. Jack of Hearts was originally slated to start in Jack of Fables number 8. Are you confused yet?
Yes.
Part 4 of Jack of Hearts will appear in Jack of Fables number 10, followed by the concluding chapter of Jack Frost in Jack of Fables number 1.
I did not understand a goddamn word.
I have no idea why they're
on the
doing this.
Either,
so they're not finishing Jack of Frost until you read Jack of Hearts, and then they'll come back and finish Jack Frost.
Yeah, what's Jack of Fables number 9 going to be?
That's what I don't know. What's Jack of Fables number 9?
I don't know, but it's a great series, so pick it up and you'll figure it out.
I'm waiting for the trailer.
Everyone's excited about the Transformers movie. We've seen the trailer in the studio. Have you seen it in the theaters? Have you seen it online?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I think it was pretty cool. Yeah. Well, IDW's Transforming Universe has spanned from modern-day Earth to the far-flung planet of Cybertron and many light years of time and space in between. Get ready for an all-new Transformers story that breaks new ground, setting the stage for the highly anticipated summer release of the film. And while the movie might not explode in the theaters until July, oh, don't worry. IDW Publishing will be offering you first glimpses of the live-action motion picture, Robots in Disguise, in the Transformers the Movie prequel, which begins in February of 2007. And I've heard that the licensing for the film has screwed up many a story that was in the pipeline for many publishers that have had their hands on the Transformers license. That all stories were... If it's not about the movie, it ain't coming out in 2007. Ugh. And there
all
are a
I
lot of
know.
Really interesting ideas that were announced through the last 2 years that have been shelved until post-movie.
All I want to know is Soundwave no longer a cassette player. Is he now an iPod?
That's a good question.
With headphones jumping out
of
their
chest. They're all monsters. Didn't you see the preview? They all look like just big monsters and stuff.
Oh.
It's just monsters from out of space invading Earth. That's what it is.
Dave, don't electrocute yourself on your
tears.
Well,
no, I saw the one.
Dave, by the way, Dave is probably the only person at this table that gives a shit about any of this, except for the movie.
Well, I'm, you know,
John.
I really wasn't a Transformer.
I was a little too old for the whole Transformers.
I grew up. Transformers was the big thing when I was a kid.
Starscream.
I saw the trailer. You know, I've been excited. You know, I really wanted a good live action Transformers movie, and then they're like, "Oh, it's going to be a Michael Bay," and I'm like, "Oh, I don't like any of his movies." And then I saw the trailer, and it's just like, it just looks like the, you know, people screaming and scared, and there's aliens invading, and there's a big monster, and there's a wide cast of characters that all have wing lines.
That is Transformers.
And
yeah, but Dave,
they are aliens.
But no, it is. But it's it just look, and then they don't look anything like.
Well, I saw the one. What's the main Transformer dude with the
Optimus Prime?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, he was a truck. He was a semi-truck.
He was a truck,
pretty
much. But when he transforms and he looks.
What about Starscream?
I thought he looked. I mean.
Oh, you know what? I just heard about the guy who did the voice for Starscream. And he's not in the movie, and he really wanted to be in the movie. He
wow,
did,
it's like Clayton Moore not getting to play
the
Lone Ranger.
He did like half a dozen voices in Transformers, and they're like, no, I
did
believe they are
Ben
using
Affleck
the Optimus
to be
voice,
Starscream.
But,
I'm sorry.
It's just not, no, I'll go
Megatron.
Back and I'll watch my, I can't watch the original stuff anymore, but I'll watch Beast Wars and
isn't
Beast Machines.
Beast Wars is Wells, the narrator of the Transformers movie.
He's Ultron, the floating head.
Yes. No.
Orson Welles is the
Wells.
Floating head in the original movie.
No, in the original movie. Well,
what?
It's not a floating
Orson
head.
Welles?
It's a big, it's
yeah.
the, it's the
really?
Planet
yeah.
Eater.
Yeah.
It's the big
Why would
planet
I make
eater.
That?
Looks like a floating head, though.
No, he's not a floating head until after the movie because he gets blown up. And then in the series, there's just the head left. He's a planet that
Don't
turns into a robot.
Total
they blow him up at the end.
Fucking Transformers nerd.
All right, next story. There were, Heroes series, I don't even know
what
I'm
right. something to talk about.
Heroes series recaps from Netflix. Following a successful promotional
You're
partnership
right the first time.
In 2006, Netflix, the world's largest online movie rental service, and NBC Today announced they will join forces once again to offer Netflix subscribers a unique and exclusive DVD experience. The NBC DVD will feature a specially produced Never before never. God,
boy, are you screwing that up?
never.
They're making a DVD that recaps the first 11 episodes, and it's going to be available to Netflix.
Yeah, so more people get on the Heroes bandwagon.
Yeah, it'll be available on January 15th.
That was, you know,
it's kind of cool.
Galactica did that before the third season,
yep.
And it was
the
actually
story
distributed.
So far.
Right, yeah. And it was
well,
distributed
Lost does
in
it too.
Books. Yes,
I mean yeah. since Heroes is just NBC's Lost. So I guess
exactly.
Oh, why are you gonna?
No, that's a good
why
thing.
Gotta,
no, I mean that's
calling it what
they,
it is.
They
that's
are.
All right.
They are. You could tell they went. Wow, Lost is a huge success, and it's also. I mean, it's got this great structure and all that kind of stuff. What can we find? What do we have in the works, or what has been submitted to us that has that same sort of thing, or can we build something around that idea? But it is. It's got a lot of the same qualities as Lost. I mean.
But that's not a bad thing. I mean, you find
that
something that's
isn't
good.
That is inherently
and,
a bad thing. You're
and
right.
You try and
that in itself is not a bad thing.
I know you're not a
what it comes out
I know you're not a
how
Heroes
it comes
fan.
Out in the end.
I know you're not a Heroes fan, but
I wish more
it was
people would
hugely
copy shows. It seems like more
yeah,
copy shitty shows.
Well, this is exclusive to Netflix until January 15th, and then after that, it'll be on the NBC website.
Yep.
So
you're
if you're one of those 10 people that still haven't watched
or
Heroes,
no deal.
But you are a comic fan. Here's a good way to catch up, I guess. I guess.
Or they could show it on TV for free.
They have been doing that, I guess, on Sci-Fi Channel.
Well, that's not free TV.
What do you say, suppose so, Mr. Wagner? All
right, next story.
God hates Civil War.
Part two.
Last week, retailers and fans were surprised to find out that Diamond Comics distributors would be shipping fewer issues of Civil War number 6 to West Coast stores than originally ordered. In some cases, by as much as 90% less. It turns out that God caused poor weather conditions and they shut down crucial highways.
But which
and
God,
prevented
Tom?
Numerous books from multiple
Fish
publishers from reaching the Diamond warehouses that service West Coast retailers, as well as stores in Australian other territories. When asked, God said, "I don't like how Reed Richards is being written."
Yeah, I'm waiting for the trade. I'm waiting for God's actual comment. Yes.
God said, "If Reed Richards is the smartest man alive, why can't he figure out a solution?" Diamond Comics, in an attempt to cover up God's scheme, indicated that a small quantity of Civil War number 6 was received in time to be distributed this week, but that the remaining issues will be shipped next week. Marvel Comics Vice President of Sales, David Gabriel, said, "Diamond has been doing everything possible to make that those retailers affected will receive a portion of the books they ordered, but God was angry about Clone."
Right.
No. So big Star Trek hand, like in that Apollo episode, just like popped down, and blocked a bunch of trucks that were heading towards the West Coast. No.
So only the chosen people got their books? Is that what's going
yes,
on here?
Yes, that's right.
Everybody else can go to hell. And you will.
I'm Ed Brubaker, and when I'm not killing Foggy Nelson, I like to accidentally delete off my desktop the Around Comics podcast.
Looks like we have a Brian K. Vaughan double shot.
Yes, it is a Brian K. Vaughan double shot. A couple stories. Fan favorite, Brian K. Vaughan, announced on his website that he has been hired as an executive story editor for the hit television
Heroes.
Series Lost.
Oh, Lost, sorry. The NBC.
No, a good show.
Yes, the ABC version of Heroes. Hey, that's right.
Brian K. Vaughan's going to be doing Deal or No
Deal or no deal?
I wrote that. He's already set up to look like Howie.
Deal or no deal?
It's my favorite show. Not really.
Deal?
Yeah, he also announced that he's going to be writing a four-issue story arc for the upcoming season 8 of the Buffy comic. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
What was that fucking snort? Fucking elitist.
Like,
what, you don't like Buffy?
I don't like
no,
Buffy.
No,
I'm looking
forward Buffy's
to the
just
comic.
Fine.
Honestly, okay. I they got really good people.
So they just
the Dark Horse series was really good. They had the real writers on it and stuff. It was
yeah, it was great.
I didn't so say a fucking word. I didn't
snorted.
Say shit.
You fucking snorted.
I'm
excited.
I may have snorted, but it had nothing to do with the story.
Snorter.
Go buy your fucking Witchblade, all right? I don't want to hear it. I can make fun of anything you read.
What was her name? What was the actress's name on Witchblade?
I don't know, but yes. I was just watching her in Hard Target.
Yeah, the
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Now, she's in rehab now.
But, nah, she may be
she had great eyes.
She's a drunk.
She was a cyborg.
All the drunks have great eyes.
I don't have great eyes.
All right, and thank God our last story is another Brian K. Vaughan update. He's going to be writing Midnighter number 7. So, all sorts of good Brian K. Vaughan
stuff. I'm sure the comic book queer guys will
enjoy
that. Oh,
Eric and
that,
Steve are going to be so excited.
Very much so.
I'm curious about Dixon coming on that Midnighter.
who I don't want to
you
get
and
that.
A lot of other people.
Yeah, yeah. Grifter company. No, you know something? I'm a huge Chuck Dixon fan.
Oh, he's a great writer.
And I'll defend his right to have his opinions and stuff that I may not agree with. And I think he's a very interesting writer.
I don't.
You almost get the feeling.
Wait,
that,
you'll defend that, Chuck Dixon,
yes,
but
sir.
You'll lambaste me for liking
for deal
a game
or no deal?
Show.
Absolutely.
What the fuck is that?
That's
I
my
think
screwed
that's
up
fair.
Priorities, sir. In action. What's the problem?
I think that's fair.
You think that's
all
right? All right.
All right.
I'll accept it then.
That brings to a close Wire to Wire Comic News. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top
of the Stack.
Of the Stack.
That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading over the last week. But first, I'd like to let you know that Top of the Stack is sponsored by the New York Comic Con.
The New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd through the 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, novelties, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guests of honor include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, George Perez, Stephen King, and many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests as well as show and advance ticket information, visit www.nycomiccon.com. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. What are you laughing at?
Novelties? Except your fake dog vomit at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I was looking at the fly in the ice cube. How much is that?
Burp powder.
All right. I screwed up, but no one would have known if you hadn't said
are
something.
Are Sundries also going to be with those novelties?
John Sundries.
That's gold. All right, yes. Yeah, we will be there. It's getting close, end of February, so everybody in the New York area, looking forward to meeting you. All right, Top of the Stack, Mr. Caters, this is no surprise.
I think I've picked this every time it's come out. But
yeah,
luckily it only come out 6 times in the last year, so it doesn't
so
look
for the
obvious.
Sixth time this year.
I picked All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly with Jamie Grant, and this book, I posted this on the forum. I was reading this, and this sort of happened with the last one, where I got about 90% of the way through, and I was sort of like, oh, I don't really get what's going on in this. And then there's a reveal that completely changes how you look at it, and all of a sudden it completely made sense, and it made me go back and reread it again and understand exactly what's going on. And what I really love about this book is that a lot of people sort of lump Grant Morrison in as this really far-out writer who has all these strange concepts and all these crazy things. But Grant Morrison can also write stories that have a lot of emotional impact. And I think just about every one of these All-Star Superman has the crazy ideas, but also has like a moment of real emotional impact, which I think is something that people just sort of discount for Morrison a lot of times. And I think he's really showing that in this series. And the art is just beautiful and I think
Morrison does that to himself sometimes because he will write stories that are so out there and bizarre that they don't have an emotional connection with the reader because you just can't grasp what he's doing. But at the same time, I mean, and I've brought it up a dozen times before, I mean, a book like We Three.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable emotional connection with the reader. One of the most amazing stories in comics that I've ever read, and he's done it in other works too. So yeah, just, I think you're right. But he does get that label sometimes where it's just, you know, he's like this
crazy
freaky
writer.
Yeah.
But there's a moment. There's one page in this book involving Superman and his father that I was like, that's in the first time you read it, you might not really catch what's going on, and then when you get to the reveal, you go back to that page and you're like, now I understand why that page
was
is in there.
Yeah.
Now I understand what's going on right there. And it's just, I mean, very rarely have I read a book where I immediately went back and read it again because I was so completely turned around.
Well, to me, they could cancel every other Superman book out there.
But that's where I would say you're wrong, Sal.
Well, of course you would, John.
Well, no, but the only reason why is because I think every person right now that is writing Superman is writing great Superman stories.
There's a lot of great Superman out there.
Donner and Johns, yes, and Morrison.
Great?
And great.
Superman
and
Confidential
and honestly,
is really good.
It is good. And that came out this week, and that was an excellent
Darwin
book as
about,
well.
Dude.
Okay,
think
they could keep Darwin Cook,
think
Superman Confidential, and
had
they could keep All-Star and everything else.
Well, then I think you're missing out on some really great Superman
stuff. I've read the Donner. I've been reading the Johns, and it's...
So good.
No, I... Not that it's... I don't, you know, I'm not going to say it's bad. I don't think that's the case.
Because it's good.
It's just, no, not.
I think they're giving you every type of Superman story you could want.
Maybe it's just too much Superman.
The Morrison.
Maybe that's all it is.
I don't know what that
means.
Well,
no,
right.
It's just like,
well,
that's
interesting.
I don't
book you're saying there's too much Superman.
No, I'm saying because there's so many Superman
titles.
There's
so much product?
Yeah, it's too many.
He's one of their flagship guys.
Well, I understand that, but why, you know, do you need five Superman titles going on at
five
the same
Wolverines
time? No, absolutely not. And I don't read any of them. That's
I think is John's point, is that do you need five different Superman books if they're all telling good yet different stories?
All right.
Yeah. Well, and again, it just
enjoy
because,
your
no,
Superman.
That's cool, Brian, because you're not alone. I know a lot of readers, you'll see them online saying, I don't
It's not even
I
so much.
Superman,
it's not, no,
I
it's not even
a great
so much.
Story.
Well, that's just it.
Is he still relevant?
It's not even so much the stories that are being told. It's like, I don't even care about Superman
sure.
anymore, other than,
okay.
like, All-Star Superman, I do care about it, but it's not because of it's Superman, it's because of the way that character is being written in that particular book.
Well, again, I think he's reaching back and giving the great elements of what made the Mort Weisinger era interesting and putting a very modern spin on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of fun payoff
showing,
for fans like Caters and myself that
me,
enjoy the older
what
stories
What he's
as
showing
well.
Is a lot of times when people criticize sort of the Mort Weisinger era, as they say that Superman isn't human. And I think Morrison is showing how that Superman... You can make that Superman human.
Oh, yeah.
And not take any of the crazy shit like the...
Well, I always
Pitlick
felt
like Superman of the future, or the you know.
I always felt Superman could represent more humanity than much of humanity, even though he's not.
He's
you know what I mean? Even though he's an alien,
that's happening.
You know what I mean. That's what always interested me about that character.
Well, you know, it's like Captain America. He's always the man out of time, which obviously you know that creates that reflection of what is going on now because of the difference. You know, Superman is relevant to us because it reflects everything that's going on because he's not human.
Right.
Is that kind of where
you're
going?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. But I think in this book he's very human, and I think the emotions that he's going through are very human, specifically in All-Star Superman. I'd say the same is happening in the Johns Donner book as well.
I do like the Johns Donner, but more so because it goes back to the movies, the Donner movies.
Yeah,
and I like
but that's
that
what I
Superman.
Mean. I think if there's any flavor of Superman you've ever liked, I think there's a book
you'll
that's
you'll find
Kurt
one
catering.
Book out there right now.
Well,
exactly.
There you go.
Everybody
gets
and also the Busick book. I don't want to.
Well, I was just saying my personal opinion. They could cancel the rest of them, and for me, but yeah, I'm not saying that they should.
Wrong. No,
I just right. wouldn't give a shit, is all I'm saying.
Sellers well, get so upset when I throw him down the mat. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
You're wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, it's my
no,
opinion,
no,
John.
No,
sorry.
No.
You're not allowed.
allowed.
Well,
you don't have the right.
What?
Fuck you and your game shows.
What did you give a shit about this week?
I gave a shit
about 2 weeks ago. I should say.
Yeah, this was 2 weeks ago because I didn't get my books yet this week because God hated my shipment. No, Winter Soldier, Winter Kills, number one, Casualties of War. It's Brubaker and Weeks and Guadiano.
Stefano Guadino?
Yeah, Guadino? Guadiano? I don't know.
What are you talking about, though?
It's a story about the Winter Soldier, Bucky, and it is everything that I want in a Invaders book that doesn't exist yet that I hope does exist
Saddlebot
at some point.
Saddlebot wants I want Invaders book.
I know. I'm not going to...
by Brubaker.
I'm not going to go into it too much.
Do you know
because,
who Namor is?
We covered it in one of the year-end shows.
Yeah, I talked about it.
I want to see Toro.
But
I love this. This is awesome. Keep going, Tom.
Shut up, Tom. Don't make me turn your mic down. I'm not going to go too far into it. I just... I don't know. For whatever reason, Brubaker...
It was a great issue.
The best of Captain America, that he has been able to really just grab that character and just write him exactly how I want to see him. He's iconic and amazing and heroic
and human
and emotional and everything. And then he brings in Bucky and his history and World War II and the Invaders and all these other characters, and he does the exact same thing. And in these little tiny spurts, he's been able to just produce these amazing little stories about these characters.
He builds
that
up Cap by using the characters around him.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that is how Cap, you know, Cap is going to be not self-defacing. He's you know, Cap is never going to say, I am the ultimate American, but the people around him will look at him like that.
Well,
and
he combines just the right amount of corniness, which I am a sucker for corny. I'm a corny kind of guy. I enjoy that kind of with reverence and just heroic presence about that character. And it's just a great combination. And if you enjoy Cap and
The Invaders,
and
it's a modern spin on 40s and 50s sensibilities.
You know what
it works, and it feels real.
Yeah. It reminds me of when they relaunched JSA with James Robinson, and sort of the way that Robinson and Johns were able to take old 40s characters or characters who had sort of gotten their mantles from those characters and make them relevant and show sort of history without having to, you know, beat you over the head with, you know, like, this character is old.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, this character isn't old. He just happens to be
He happens to have been around for a long time.
There's these sensibilities, and that's what makes the difference in those characters.
Yeah, well, that's a huge part of it, is that it's not... Cap doesn't feel dated. You know what I mean? While you understand that he's been around for a long time and he has this long history, he doesn't feel like a dated character any longer, which he always seemed to feel like.
Well, and he taps into the different eras of Cap and does it very naturally. And that great scene at the end of Winter Soldier between Namor and Bucky is a great little exchange. He did the same thing in the London Blitzkrieg story where Spitfire is able to lean in and say, hey, what's going on with Bucky? Because you know, all these people know each other. It's the mark of a good a well-written ensemble piece where, as you guys were saying, not only is the main character so important, but all the other ancillary characters feed into it because of the way they talk about him, the way they all interact.
Yeah.
From Seinfeld to Jack Benny and everything, the supporting characters are all there to support the main guy.
And
that's what's happening in Cap in a very good way. And the best Superman writers do it as well with Superman.
And one of the funniest lines in a Cap book that I've ever read.
Maybe our favorite line of the year.
No,
Cap.
With Bucky at the dance. The Hitler line was just kill. I laughed out loud at it. It was perfect. It was just a perfect
Cap line.
Yeah, it was just Cap line.
And the same thing about Namor, when Namor's like, you know, I gotta be honest, it doesn't make me sad that you're alive. That's about right.
What I really enjoy about what he's done with the Winter Soldier is he's sort of taken a lot of things that I think for years that maybe sort of got deflected off of Captain America and all these things and all these sort of like pains. And he's taken Bucky and he's brought it, and Bucky now seems to be sort of this, he's sort of the, not the dark side of Captain America, but
he's the
what
regret.
Could happen.
He's
yeah,
the,
he's
yeah,
all the
yeah.
stuff that,
that
maybe
that Cap's dealt with for so many years but never has had to deal with in a physical sense.
He's sort of not Cap's mistakes, but the things that Cap wishes he could have done
differently.
Done sure. differently. Yeah. And that's what's so great about the character. See, holds all that within within himself.
And that was set up early in the series, is that, you know, Bucky did the things that Cap wouldn't, or that no one wanted Cap to have to do.
He did the dirty work.
Yeah. Bucky was, he was the scout. He was, you know, when
the
someone
sniper,
needed,
you know,
yeah, when someone needed to go in and
pick
take
off the
people
bad guys.
Out,
right. yeah.
Bucky would do it. And Cap was...
Well, and that's why when they do make the Invaders book by Ed Brubaker, it must be written through Bucky's eyes. It has to be told through Bucky's eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's the...
It's sort of like one of the problems I've always had with Captain America, previous to Brubaker, because Brubaker's really the first time that I've read Captain America and really enjoyed it, is that Captain America seemed like this character who was bred of war, but had nothing... There was no dirt to him. Mm-hmm. There was, like...
That's true.
There was... He was... Nothing
clean.
Bad.
He was clean.
He was,
clean,
yeah.
he was shiny and new. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
with Bucky, what happens is all of a sudden you see all the dirt that Captain America had to deal with.
And Brubaker explains that clean image, though, as, well, that's the war propaganda
yep.
machine,
yeah.
which
makes
is,
a which makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
For the first
okay.
time I read Captain America, and I read it, and I said, this character now makes sense to me.
Yep.
I understand
that's,
what this character is.
That's almost a perfect example of what why Brubaker has done such a good job, is he has made Cap make sense.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. All right, Mr. Centrist, what was your top of the stack this week?
A great ending to a great three-parter in Jonah Hex, the origin story. I think it was really risky, much in the same way that the Wolverine origin was told, to take a character like Jonah Hex and, you know, kind of slap an origin on him. And I think it took balls on Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti's part to write this kind of story, and they came through. Jordi Bernet, unbelievable art. He's one of Europe's finest artists, and it shows in this book. And it was a really great three-part story where, again, each part could stand on its own, but put together, you've got a wonderful story, and I love this series. It's now 15 issues long. I'm so glad that it's doing as well as it is, and I'm glad DC is behind it in keeping it going, because I just think it shows that when we all complain, oh, all the big two do is superheroes and superheroes, well... Jonah Hex is a superhero, I guess.
I hate decompressed stories.
And that's the other thing. I mean, yeah. this speaks to exactly what DiDio is looking for. DiDio was telling me that, you know, he wants to see more creative teams that can really do done-in-one
yeah.
issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in Jonah Hex, and they're doing a great job with it. It's a great series, and
there's nice little hints to other things you've read in previous issues, with just names and things. So it's not like... It's not like no story has no link to it, but you can pick up any issue of those three, and
yes.
it's fine. You don't need to know what happened previously to
no.
enjoy the
absolutely
not.
No,
story.
You
yeah.
could you can read 15 exactly and feel like you're caught up, and again it will explain how his face got disfigured. You know, you get these little elements of his past, and they did it in a very good way and in a surprising way. I mean. I didn't know what kind of story to expect, yeah. and I liked their choices.
One of my
was
favorite things of this past year, and if I would have been here for the end of the year show, I would have mentioned it, was the fact that we interviewed Jimmy Palmiotti made me read the Jonah Hex trade,
yeah.
which made me start getting Jonah Hex. And it's been one of my favorite books once I started getting it. Like, just the fact that I tried it was just like, oh, this is I need to start getting this. And it was
really,
great.
Luke,
it's a really great
every artist they've had on it, including guys like Tony DiZagunza, who was the original, one of the original Jonah Hex artists.
Galassi
on there as well,
awesome.
Luke Ross
yep.
as well, and now Jordi Bernet. I mean, that's the thing. They've had all-star artists on this thing, and they've really done a good job of writing, and I'm pleased that because of the success of Jonah Hex, now they're looking at Batlash.
Yep.
Sergio Aragonés
yep.
and a Western
oh,
writer
yeah,
and
that's
John Severin.
Be, yeah.
I mean, this is going to be one of the great books, I think, that'll come out hopefully this year, if not early next year.
Speaking of John Severin, he just did
Iron Fist
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
how did you guys... That was...
It was excellent.
Oh, wasn't
it? Oh, it was
that?
Excellent. Yeah,
Iron Fist number 2 was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's another great story, and much like Brew is doing in Captain America, going back and telling some untold tales of Iron Fist.
The only thing that sort of disappoints me a little bit, Iron Fist, is nothing to do with the book, but the sales.
That they're not very good?
They started off at like 38,000, which isn't...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there's 38,000 really smart people out there.
Well, I mean, like, cap sells around 46, 47.
That's cap.
I mean, it's not a...
I think that a book will grow.
I think that's big enough that they'll still be given enough of a chance.
I know, but I mean, out of all the books out there, how many books gain readers?
Well,
like,
but
three?
Iron Fist is kind of a third-tier hero. I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily you've got a great, talented, you know, crew on it.
Someone mentioned sales numbers, so I wanted to mention the fact that, that
you're paying attention.
Yeah, Iron Fist is a
go check out Iron Fist. It's excellent. The first two issues of
if you like Cap,
phenomenal.
If you like
and like
Daredevil,
I said, that John Severn. I mean, I'm you like you know, from other... Mad Magazine stuff. Just you know, Severn's work on there. I was always a huge fan, and to see him do that little story in Iron Fist was just...
Severn goes back to the 40s. I mean, he's really a contemporary of Cullen's, and even I think is a little older than Gene Cullen, and is still cranking out books. I mean, that's...
Is he really that old?
Yes. Yeah, he's old. He's Maurice Severin's older brother.
I never would have imagined
he's Maurice's older brother.
He is. That's right.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, when he popped up on Rawhide Kid and, you know, did the slap leather story with Rod Zimmerman a couple years ago... He is this, like, forgotten man of the late Golden Age, early Silver Age. That
draw Yellow Boy?
Yellow Boy?
In the 19th century.
Yellow
comic strip thing?
Yellow Boy.
That was a bad joke, I apologize.
Not to be confused with Yellow Man, the fine reggae artist of the 19th
century. Nice.
Yellow Man!
All right.
What's
next?
Big fan. Dave and I are split. Dave, get over here. Come on, it's time to talk about
our book. He's
awake. I didn't do it.
I haven't read this yet, but I'm looking forward to
it. I didn't do it, man.
We talked with we talked with author Jason Aaron, what, about a month ago?
Sure.
Who is the writer of The Other Side. Well, we talked about his other...
It's Jason Aaron week.
It is Jason Aaron week. Other Side number 4 came
and
out.
Scalp.
But also, Scalp number 1 came out.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to the interview that we did with Jason, I would definitely encourage you
to. What's your problem?
Yeah.
what were you doing?
Jason's
what
a great guy.
Stupid or something?
Real quick here, Scalped is penned by Jason Aaron. The art is done by R.M. Guara.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Lee Lowridge was on colors.
More
Phil Balsman on letters. Jock did the cover for all
nice
of the
cover.
Losers fans out there. I say all that because Will Dennis was the editor, and he had a great little article, which is out in all of the Vertigo titles for this month, and he kind of goes through the entire creative team of Scalped and really breaks it down.
Is he the...
He's the guy that was at the Brian Wood panel.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
Right. Guy.
Will Dennis, I
real bright.
He's one of the key Vertigo editors.
Yeah.
I really want
no
to get
question.
Will on the show and talk with him because he is, you're right, he's a very bright guy.
Maybe we can get his email address.
When guys like Stuart Moore and Axel Alonso left Vertigo, thankfully Will Dennis was still around.
I was extremely impressed by his panel
going.
At
He's
a smart guy.
Sharp guy. He seems to really get it and be just a good comic fan on top of being a very good editor. But anyway, Scalped is what we're talking about. It is the second series from Jason Aaron. It is set in a modern-day Indian reservation in... it is what Dakota? It's in South Dakota. So it is a South Dakota Indian
the
reservation.
The only Dakota, Chris.
North Dakota's for losers.
We've got thousands of North Dakota listeners
now
who are just shooting their
iPods. I'll kind of give the setup here, and then Dave can talk about the story a little bit. It is set on a South Dakota Indian reservation, new casino development. You're dealing with a lot of organized crime. Alcoholism, gangsters, all sorts of nasty, gnarly stuff.
Yeah, it's a nice hard-boiled story about this guy who comes back to the reservation.
Badass.
And he is a badass, of course. I mean, he's got to be, right? And he comes back and basically...
He has nunchucks.
He's got nunchucks, you know? And he basically challenges the big gang of thugs run by the main... criminal kingpin type guy who is also going to be the head of the
and is the sheriff
is also this and of course the main criminal guy is also the guy who's going to be the main manager of the new casino that's going in. So you've got all these different kind of facets coming in, and
The art, very I would say Eduardo Rizzo-esque.
It was also part of that is because of the colors too. I think because it's got that sort of
fantastic
simple colors, but extremely effective and dark and moody.
Lee Loridge.
Yeah.
You know, I like the fact too that it's on the cheaper paper, and I used to talk about this with Rucka about Gotham Central.
Well, all the Vertigo titles are, right?
I think a lot of trades are.
Well, it depends, but regardless,
100
I like...
100 Bullets is Fables,
that's true.
Right?
I like that they do that, though, because it, I think, gives it a more pulpy feel.
Yeah.
Because I know it used to drive Lark and Guadino crazy about their art on Gotham Central, and it's like, oh, you know, stuff bleeds and everything, and it's like, yeah, but you
it
know something?
It.
Yeah, it makes it kind of a grittier read.
I like
that's cool.
Yeah, I like it. I like that paper. I think I do.
I actually, you know, if they could lower the price of a comic book by 5 cents and put it on this cheap paper, I'd go for it, you know, because I read all of these and I read all the other Vertigo titles that use the same paper, you know. And
wouldn't
it's
bother
like, there's
me
nothing,
at all, no question.
Yeah, and also, you know, because it has this other style to it, too, you know, I actually prefer this kind of coloring as opposed to the stuff that, like, is the mainstay at, like, DC or Marvel, where everything's really shiny and
it's
everybody
over,
looks
like
well,
it depends on the
over-rendered is what I
it
call it.
It depends
yeah.
on the story, though. I mean, some, you know, depending on the story,
you're not going to do.
I see both ways. I see both ways.
Well, I could see a Superman.
Well, you could, but you're an oddball. I think this is going to draw immediate comparisons to 100 Bullets.
It is.
Sure will.
It's already starting to set up overlapping story arcs, multiple.
Oh God, I gotta wait for the. Yeah,
it's got a cast of characters
this
already.
It's only a 3-issue story to start off. So
yeah, the first one is just.
But it is an ongoing.
That's
series.
How they get you.
Yeah, that is how they hook
yeah,
you.
Yeah, though I'm sure they'll put out a $8.99 trade or something like that.
I don't think it's going to be as
complex.
As complex as 100 Bullets, where you pretty much have to read. You know, 6 issues, the whole arc at a time, or else you're not sure what's going on. No, I think it's a lot more clear than that, but it still has that hard-boiled, multi-faceted character and layered plot
line. Well, you're getting like federal agents. You've got the crime lord and his gang. You've got
the band of the traditionalists.
Traditionalists on the reservation.
Don't want to have the
casino.
The casino there. And
so
all
you've
that,
got you know all the you know the casino people. So you have a ton
it's got
of characters.
Everything I want.
It's gonna be a really good series, and there is a fantastic twist and
the
hook
ending
on the last
so
page.
So good.
Yeah.
I got to that ending. I was like,
holy
crap! Or shit, whatever. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it clean
for the kids,
so they can listen to the show. But
so,
yeah. That was it. I saw that ending, and I was like, oh, yeah, this book kicks ass.
The last page will make you come back and get issue two. So, Scout, number one, according to Dave and I, highly recommend.
Highly.
Fantastic. I haven't read it. It'll be waiting for me at home
when
I get there. But
it's got it all.
Shut up, Mark.
Especially for a Vertigo book, it's got everything you love about Vertigo books.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It sounds... Mm-hmm.
Right there.
It's going to be... And, yeah, Jason Aaron... Great guy. Congratulations. Fantastic debut issue. All right, guys, that will wrap up our top of the stack.
What?
It does not.
Oh, we do have a listener top of the stack.
This is, once again, kind of like some of our news stories. We had to put this off for a couple weeks.
Didn't we have some voicemails?
I think we have some voicemails, too. We're trying to catch up, folks.
All right.
But we have an emailed listener top of the stack. Sal, why don't you take care of this?
Okay, he said, hi, guys. This is Paul D. from the forum with my choice for top of the stack. Midnight Sun by Ben Towle. It's a 5-issue miniseries put out by Slave Labor Graphics. Two issues have been released so far, with 3 more to go. This is a hell of a comic. Based on real events, it's the pre-Depression era story of a sarcastic, down-on-his-luck newspaper reporter named H.R. who prefers to spend most of his afternoons drunk in a bar rather than work. Well, who doesn't? When the airship Italia goes missing, the reluctant H.R. is sent to the Arctic to cover the story. Issues 1 and 2 jump back and forth between HR's story and the mounting struggles of the Italia crash survivors. This is shaping up to be a great adventure tale, and the art is wonderful. Towle's drawing style is a testament to great cartooning, and he really captures the enormity of the Arctic and how hopeless it must have felt to be lost in the middle of nowhere. I'd advise anyone who is interested in good storytelling and exploring different genres to give this series a try. It's a stellar example of why we read comics in the first place. Fuck, I'm going to have to go check it out.
It is. I got the first issue.
Damn you, Paul D.
And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I missed the second issue. I didn't put it. It always takes me a couple of issues to get things on my pull list. And the next time it was out, and I guess it had been taken up already, so I didn't get the second issue. So I hope to maybe, if I can't find the second issue, I'll get it in trade. But sounds it is cool. Really good. I love the. I really like historical, you know, stories, true to life, and it's always sure. The kind of thing. Like I always thought when I first read the book and the story about the Endurance. I don't know if you guys know about this, but this is about the they're trying to get to the South Pole, and the
Admiral Byrd himself.
I can't remember his name right now, okay. But his ship gets stuck. They never reach it. They never reach it. The whole ship gets stuck. The ice is in on them, and they spend months down there. Ooh. They have to end up eating the dogs.
Ooh.
All this kind of stuff, and it's a great story. And I was always like, man, they should make this into a story. And then I started reading Midnight Sun. It's kind of, you know, it's sure. Sydney, you know, it's got that Arctic feel to it and all that kind of, and the Lost, and that. And it's got the reporter, and I was like, well, we don't need to make the Endurance because now we have this one. You know, and it was really good, and I want to read more of it.
That reminds me of a book. I think you picked up at Wizard World Chicago. I think you picked it up there.
Which one?
God, now I can't. It was a small independent book. It was a blue
Borrowed Time.
Yes, Borrowed Time. Yes. And the second one has come out, and I haven't.
It has.
Seen it. It has. Good I believe Lord, it's no, come it out. Not. It has not come out yet. Oh, did you? Okay.
I like Borrowed Time.
Yeah, it's a strange.
It's odd.
It's a very
odd. It's a Bermuda triangle.
It reminds
thing.
Me because it's a guy on a ship, and he goes and they get it's a Bermuda triangle story, but it was just sort of that lost at sea and it was a really good book, I was really waiting on the second one. I thought it had come out, so I'm excited. Well, I'm glad to hear that it hasn't yet. I missed it, but
I did not pick that up at Wizard World. Our intuitive shop owner.
Oh, Mark had gotten that.
Ordered that.
Oh.
And it was,
order me the second one and the first one if you can find it.
All right, and Paul, a note. Thank you so much. We love it whenever listeners challenge us to find things. It's not just us challenging listeners to go out and find new stuff. Please challenge us to find new stuff.
Yeah,
so we
absolutely
love that email.
Thank you, Paul.
Know,
I'll say, I'm glad he brought that up because I want to go out and find the second issue, which I missed. And it's got a really nice graphic look to it too, because there's so much white, but there's a lot expressed within it. And it's really nice.
Awesome. Hey, it sounds like something I would really like. So
I think
I'm
you would.
Go,
I think
go,
you'd
go check
it.
That out.
All right, guys. Well, that will wrap up Top of the Stack.
Ho!
Let's wrap this puppy up. I want to remind everyone to check out all the great things at AroundComics.com. It is your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. While you're there, please take a minute to fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicpodcast.com. Just so everyone is aware, we post the next topic on Tuesdays at our forum at www.aroundcomics.com.
All right, guys, please remember to help us out with the Listener LCS Challenge. Check us out at comicspace.com. Be our virtual friend. Give us a dig at dig.com. My favorite, the iTunes Music Review. I'd like to thank InStock Trades for sponsoring this episode of Around Comics. And I would like to thank the huge panel today. Hillary had to go walk his dog, so he had to leave.
What does that mean, walk his dog?
I think he really had to walk the dog. But always great whenever.
But look for that that fantastic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles story from me and Hillary. Co-written by...
Oh, so it's always great whenever Hillary drops by. Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Always good to see you. John, another Monday episode.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. When I have nowhere to go, I always have here to come.
Nowhere else to go.
There's always
Richard,
a home.
I am Richard Gere of Comic Podcast.
And everyone knows your name.
They're
always glad you came.
Ted Apoch from our forum has been here listening to us. So, Ted, always good to see you.
Hello,
Mr. Caters.
That's Apoch?
That is Apoch.
I thought Apoch was like a 16-year-old kid. The things he says,
Hank was so youthful and energetic.
Oh, yeah, Hank. We got to thank Hank for coming by again.
Thanks, Hank.
Hank just shows up. He doesn't really say anything. He sits around, watches us.
He observes.
And then he leaves.
I think he's trying to
he's doing his own podcast.
He's trying
to think it's the Hank cast. Yeah.
Right, he's putting out a bootleg. He's putting out a bootleg version of ours.
Is that what it is?
How not to do a podcast. He's got volumes.
Oh, we'll give him volumes, all right. Yeah, it was a great time tonight at Dark Tower. Anyone in the Chicago area, please come in on Friday night. We would love to meet you. Tom, great to have you back. Sal, as always, my buddy, my partner in crime.
Yes.
Have fun editing all weekend long.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll be back again on Thursday with our interview with Steve Rude.
That's right.
We had a fun time doing that. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah. Why you got my love?